Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Say What Author Spotlights, a division of Say What Book Club. I am your host, Tamika Patrice Kane. Each month we bring you the featured author of the book we're currently reading. Today's author is Marlon Mikulski, and we'll be discussing his novel, Malicious. Marlon is the author of multiple books as well as a screenplay writer. Marlon, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, it's my pleasure. So we'll go ahead and just jump on in. So I first learned of your writing from a review I saw in a magazine for Malicious, and it sounded like such a great read, I had to check it out. And I must say that I was not disappointed. So I've since then gone on to read the other two books in the series. So why don't you tell us about Malicious?
Malicious is the third book in the Pink Palace series. The Pink Palace is a book that I wrote back in 2008. It was my first published book. And this book deals with a young lady named Janelle, who was a runaway from home, and through her cousin started working at a local strip club in Atlanta called the Pink Palace. And from there, she gets mixed up into a series of events with some interesting men, and that kind of spawned Pink Palace 2 and Malicious, aka Pink Palace 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you sat down to write the series, what were you hoping to accomplish?
At first, it wasn't really supposed to be a series. When I first wrote the Pink Palace book, it wasn't even really called the Pink Palace. It wasn't. The focus was supposed to be like a crime novel. It was supposed to be it was centered around the cop. And as I wrote it and I started developing the female characters, it seemed more interesting, and it kind of changed more from it being more of a cop story to focusing on these young ladies and their lives and the world they live in working in strip clubs.
Yeah.
And when I finished The Pink Palace, that was the end of the book. It wasn't really supposed to be a series until after it came out and people were asking me, "Hey, when's part two coming out?" And I was like, "What? Really?
Oh, is there a part two?" Yes. Gotcha. So, okay. So it's a three-book series?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So one of the things I love about your novels is that even when the characters are into questionable activities, you include such a humanness to them that they are so easily relatable. You include the backstory, and that helps us to understand who these characters are and makes it possible to understand why they do some of the things that they do. What do you think is the key to creating believable characters?
I believe you can't really, when you're creating a character, you just can't really just say this character's all bad or this character's all good. They're human, and everybody has good sides to their personalities. Some people have bad sides to their personalities. It's a combination of everything. It's just what's their motivation throughout the story. And, they do have other feelings and other things going on in their lives, but their motivation is what really pushes them forward. And as long as you can show a balance, a fully formed and a fully developed character that's not generic, I think you'll have a successful or a character that's worth reading about.
Okay. So why did you decide to name the first two books The Pink Palace, but then the third book in the series, Malicious? Why did you do that?
Well, the first two books were published under Triple Crown Publications. And that company, that publishing house, is now defunct. And I kind of wanted to, sometimes when you say part three or part two, part three, part four, part five, or whatever, people get intimidated and they kind of think, oh, well, I need to read part one before I even read this new version. I felt like at the time, by giving it the name Malicious as the primary title, people can jump in because each book is really its own story.
I would agree. So have you found that as people reach out to you after they read the story? So if they start with book three, are they reaching out and saying, "Oh my goodness, I have to read the rest of the series"? You know, are you hearing lots of that? Because that's exactly how I felt.
And when they realize, I think they kind of halfway in, they kind of realize there's a backstory, there's other stories, or there's other books connected to Malicious. They say, "Okay, I got to read the other ones." Well. And the beautiful thing about it, like I said, you can read Malicious from start to finish, and you don't necessarily have to read one and two in order to appreciate what's going on in Malicious.
Okay. All right, so since we are talking about this series, and so again, people, there are three books in the series. The first two are The Pink Palace, and then book three is Malicious, which is actually what we are we're talking about. That was the feature for the book club, but you should read all three of them. Okay.
Yes. Please go read all three.
Yeah, right, that's right. Go ahead and do it. So why don't you tell us, who was your favorite character to develop? And, yes, let's start there.
Favorite character to develop?
In the series?
Jasmine's character.
She makes her first appearance.
Yeah, she makes her first appearance in book two.
Mm-hmm.
I think she is kind of middle of the road, at times ambiguous in her motivations and her.
Okay.
At times she's kind of a villain, at other times she's a heroine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her motivation, like, is a little different than Nikki and Janelle, or Monique.
Okay. Because
Monique got into it through her cousin because she was running away, and obviously Nikki's character had a troubled past, and why she got into the strip club world. But Jasmine, she came from a very stable family, actually a very middle class family, and she was actually in college. And she started stripping, or started dancing at this nightclub, to make money, more money than what she had. And she kind of found a niche in how to market herself and make herself pretty much her own business, her own industry, so to speak. And she found that would be a more lucrative than going to college she was in college. She found it more lucrative than going and becoming an intern at some company and working for free, or working the corporate ladder.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she was very interesting to develop who she is.
Now, I had a range of feelings towards all the characters, but I would think the ones that stand out the most to me are Chauncey and Monique, or Janelle, So I was really feeling some things about those characters, but. So who would you say that you identify with the most, and why, of the characters?
Me? I would probably say Jason's character, personally. I wrote a lot of his personality, a lot of his motivations, I guess, would be – I based him a lot on myself in some respect, as far as his personality is concerned. Like, what would I do if I was this undercover cop and I was in this situation where I fell in love with somebody I probably should not have been with, and now I have to kind of lie to both sides? So I think I identify personally more with his character.
Okay. Okay. So you said that you started off initially wanting to write, like, a crime series or whatever, a crime story. So do you think that you will take the Jason character or someone like him and maybe put him in a different, and kind of go the initial route that you wanted to take, with his character?
No,
maybe a
because
series
now,
or something.
In hindsight, looking back at it now, I kind of feel like I feel like this was the way I should have went from the beginning.
Okay.
I didn't really have a story for Jason's character after this first one.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, is there an underlying theme present in your work?
Overall, in all my work, is there an overlying theme? No, not really. I wouldn't say that there is a theme. I would just say I like to write entertaining stories. I like to just write entertaining stories for people to read that grabs their interest and, entertains them. I don't really have a overall theme, I guess, when I write a book. I just like telling interesting stories.
Okay. So, of course, I've read several of your books, not just this series. There was Foreign Center, and there was another one, but I'm drawing a blank at the moment. But anyway, and so, I don't know, I think that you're kind of underplaying your work some. I feel like your stories are very rich. The characters are very rich. They're very developed. And that there are lessons, kind of fused throughout the story. They're some subtle, you know, so it's not like, oh, yes, you know, you're in school or in church and somebody's beating you over the head with a message or anything. But I kind of feel like there are,
right,
you know, there are things to glean and to leave with. And those characters, you know, I remember them when the stories are over, you know, and I can't say that with everything that I read, and I read a lot, you know, so I don't know. I think you're kind of downplaying your gift there, you know, so
I'll let you say
what you say, you know. What's that?
I mean, I don't go into it from the get go when I sit down and write this book. I don't have, well, this is the theme that I want everybody to take away from my story.
Mm-hmm.
I think
okay.
you're going to take
okay.
away. I think everybody's going to take away what they're going to take away.
Gotcha.
And I
okay,
try to drop. I try to drop little jewels here and there, but I'm not trying to kill you.
Okay. All right. Now, do you consider yourself an urban fiction writer? And if not, how do you classify your writing?
I consider some of it urban fiction, obviously. But I, mm-hmm. myself as a writer, I just consider myself an author.
Okay.
It just happens to be that a lot of my characters are African-American and it's set in the African-American community somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other topics. I try to expand and write in different genres. So I would just describe myself as an author, plain and
okay.
simple, not necessarily a hood author, not an urban lit
mm-hmm.
author, but just an author.
Mm-hmm. So what other genres have you written in? So we know that you've done some urban writing. What else?
Mm-hmm. Romance,
okay.
erotica, science
mm-hmm.
fiction.
Okay.
I think those are the areas that I've dived into so
gotcha.
Far.
Okay. So why don't you tell us, where did your literary journey begin? Have you always been a writer, or did that, you know, did something trigger it and it started in your adulthood? You know, tell us about your journey.
My journey is, it started a few years ago, well, not a few years ago, but back in the late 90s.
Okay.
I was never really a big reader of novels. I actually
mm-hmm.
read a lot of comic books, and
okay.
to this day, I'm still a very big comic book fan. I like reading comics and stuff like that. I appreciate the artwork and I loved writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I met my wife, and she was a big novel reader, a big reader, and
mm-hmm.
she kind of introduced me to that world.
Okay.
And I always like to tell little stories. I used to draw a lot, and I used to make up characters, and I used to
mm-hmm.
tell backstories for these characters and why they're doing what they're doing and how they got their powers and what their motivation is. So
okay.
I kind of applied that kind of writing. And when I got turned on to novels, it just kind of
mm-hmm.
transitioned over.
Okay. Was it an easy transition for you?
Relatively, because it wasn't really forced. It
okay.
wasn't really like I just sat down and said, hey, I'm going to write a novel now. It
okay.
just kind of progressed to there. I started writing screenplays.
I
wanted to write movies. I saw movies like The Best Man and Love and Basketball, and I loved those kind of movies. So I said,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I bet I can write a story. I can write a movie. Like, so that's
okay.
where it started for me.
Okay. So then at what point did you know you wanted to be an author? You know, because, of course, writing is its own thing, and then there's the entity of being an author. So when did you know that you wanted to be an author?
When my wife, actually, I was at work, and I noticed that a lot of my coworkers' days at the time, they liked reading these novels. And I noticed that, hey, my wife reads a couple of those novels, too. And
mm-hmm.
My wife gave me or bought a Zane book. And I started reading, I think it was like one of those, the chocolate flavors book, that she wrote in her early years. And I read,
okay.
I read that and I read Skyscraper and, there were a lot of short stories. So I said, hey, I can write a short story like that. So I
mm-hmm.
started writing little short stories. They probably were very bad, but, I started writing these short stories and I started showing them to different people and they were like, whoa, they loved them. And they were like,
okay.
I want some more. And
okay.
That's when I started to feel like, oh, maybe I have something here.
Okay. All right. So do you remember the moment, you know, after the book started coming out, you know, when it felt real to you and when it's like, oh, my God, I am really an author. Do you remember that moment?
When I first saw the, I got the deal, and I was like, great, that's great. And when I saw the book, when I first got my first shipment of books, The Pink Palace, and I opened that box, and I saw all these books with my name on it. I was just kind of like, whoa, this is real. This is really happening.
Okay.
And when I walked into the bookstore and I saw my book on the shelf for the first time, it was like, this is crazy. This is crazy.
Yes. Okay. What has been the hardest part of this literary journey for you?
The hardest part for me in my journey as an author is getting to a bigger audience, reaching a bigger reader, fan base. And for most of my, if not all, my literary career, I've been on either small independent publishers or Triple Crown was kind of a large publisher at the time, but it also had a limited audience. You know what I mean? Like it only reached so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think my challenge now is what I've been trying to concentrate on is reaching a bigger platform to present my work on, so I can reach more people outside of my circle.
You know, Beverly Jenkins is one of my favorites, and so I've been reading her stuff for forever. She's a black historical fiction writer, and so when I first wrote when I wrote the first draft of my novel, like it took forever for it to come out, but anyway, so at the time I wrote her, and I was just kind of asking her some questions about the industry and, you know, and stuff like that, you know, and so she was very instrumental and helpful and all that. So when I started the book club, it was kind of a no-brainer that she would be the first person that I would feature, you know. So I did her interview, and I remember her saying in the interview that, you know, just – you know, she says, you know, if people come into it thinking that they're going to get rich and, you know, and all that, you know, well, they have another thing coming.
Yeah.
But just keep writing, you know. And so, but it was kind of interesting because she was just talking about how, you know, you just keep putting them out there, you know, and then at some point, somewhere on the journey, it blows up. You know, it becomes a larger entity. Now, who knows where on the journey, on that path it'll be. But she says, but then after that happens, then all of a sudden your backstories, you know, your backlist becomes very popular. You know, then everybody wants to own everything that you have, you know. So I guess I think about that sometimes, and I find that to be very encouraging and motivating.
Yeah.
You know, on those times when it's like, okay, I'm really maxing out my personal budget here trying to keep these books and stuff going, you know. And yet, it's like, okay, but just, you know, just keep going. At some point, it'll pay for itself, you know. So, you know, I hope those words are encouraging to you too.
Yes, and I tell people if and especially those who want to get into writing, who want to become an author, if money is your number one motivation, then you probably don't want to get into this industry.
I mean, probably not.
unless you're part of that lucky 2% who write your first book is picked up by Random House or by Penguin and you're offered a big multi, you know, book contract. Mm-hmm. 9 out of 10, that's not going to happen right away. So, you know, if that's your motivation, you might want to try something else.
You know, it's kind of an interesting thing, too, because I think sometimes we see these names and we know that they're doing the 20 city book tours and all that kind of stuff. But even T.D. Jakes didn't start off as T.D. Jakes, you know. I mean, I remember reading about like Terry McMillan and how when her books came out, you know, she was riding around and Elin Harris and all them. They're riding around with books in their trunk. You know, they're still doing the same kind of grind that we find ourselves doing on a smaller level, you know, until they were able to get out there. And they had these large contracts, you know, even though they may not have had the money with it, but they had the contracts with these larger publishers, you know. And I think sometimes we don't quite get that, you know, but it's like, no, we all kind of start at the same place, you know. I mean, unless you've got somebody who's in the industry who pulled some strings to get you in, you know, they're already a bestseller, they, you know, that kind of thing. You know, but most of us are starting, and we're still just having to, you know, to push it and develop relationships and, you know, and do these events and drive around and, you know, go to the beauty supply and, you know, the beauty shop, barber shop, you buy them a book. And,
set up a table,
you know?
and do your
thing. That's right. That's it. So,
yeah,
so that
and
was the
and
hardest
a large,
part.
Yeah, I
So
mean,
go ahead.
the hard work starts after you write the book. Writing the book, to me, is the easy part. It's really about networking and get your face out there, getting your name out there. And I find, like, the beautiful thing about books that kind of separates it from every other medium is that I can write a book, my Pink Palace book, I wrote 8 years ago, 8, 9 years ago.
Okay.
Somebody just reading it today, it's a brand new book. They've never read. It's not like music where it's dated, or a movie where it came out and you could tell the time frame when it came out. A book is fresh to whoever's reading it for the first time.
You're right. Yes.
Somebody's discovering you for the first time every day.
Yes. Are you, would you say that you are very good at marketing? You know, I find that as I talk to the authors, that tends to be the area that most of us struggle, you know, unless they have like a marketing background, or, you know, they've got, they've hired to do that sort of thing. You know, are you, is that your forte, you know, or how has that been for you?
I'm not as good as I would like to be. I'm not shy about putting myself out there, about, you know, meeting people, about advertising my work. But there are areas I feel like I could be better at, and I would welcome the opportunity to get better at it if I had the avenue to do it.
Okay. Now, do you have a mentor, or, you know, do you pretty much just kind of go it solo and just, you know, it's just kind of trial and error for you?
A mentor in what sense? Like somebody I talk to about the industry, or try to...
Yes, I mean, you know, someone who's kind of further along, well, in some places maybe further along the journey than you. You know, I think that I have a mentor. Actually, I have a couple of them. You know, people I can bounce ideas and stuff, you know, off of, or, you know, sometimes I just need to be able to scream. Frustration kicks in, you know, need to be able to vent that out. And then, you know, they listen and, you know, okay, say this thing and then you're right back on track, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, someone who's further along the journey than you, you know, do you have that person? Or is that, you know, you're not really feeling that, you know, that particular route? Marlon? Did I lose you? Marlon? Oh.
Oh.
Marlon?
Oh, come on. What?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. I don't know what happened. I just lost you
for
a while.
Yeah,
yes, I was asking.
Oh, okay. Okay, now I can hear you.
Okay.
No, not in particular. I don't have a mentor or so to speak that I speak to. I have other industry peers that I like to gain information from. I talk to from time to time, and they try to, you know, shed some light on certain things. But no, I don't really have a mentor, so to speak, that I really. One person in particular I turn to.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, have you self-published any of your works, or do you have a publishing company, or are you using other publishers to get your works out?
I've been using, I've mostly used other publishers to publish my work through, whether they're small or medium-sized independents. But that's the main avenue I go through. I'm not really interested. I mean, I'm not really interested in becoming a publisher, or so to speak, but, you know, that's my approach to it right now.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, and it's good to know that, too, because, you know, sometimes we, you know, we see folks doing what they're doing, and everyone wants to kind of jump on the bandwagon, but you have to know what your goals are, you know, and then stay true to that vision, you know, and if it doesn't work for what you're doing, not everything is for everyone, you know, so that's good that you know that, you know, and that you can stay in your lane, and it certainly frees up a lot of time to be able to do other things, because you're not pulled in so many different directions, too, so that's wonderful that you are, you know, kind of in tune with that and that you know that. Who inspires you to write?
I think the people who inspire me as far as other authors that I really motivate me, who really I look up to, Eric Jerome Dickey is a huge, huge influence and a motivator. Tracy Brown, Deja King, and some earlier in my career, Zane was that person. But I think nowadays it's really like Eric Jerome Dickey, Tracy Brown, Deja King. Those are the main three that really, like, wow, I go out and mm-hmm. I get their books, and I'm like, it makes me want to go to my keyboard and start typing.
Okay, okay. That's cool. So you mentioned that you were really big into comics and that sort of thing. Do you think you'll ever try your hand at writing comics?
Definitely. We're actually developing through the movie company that I'm associated with, Creative Genius Films.
Mm-hmm.
We have a book series, or we have a movie, a film called Returned, and mm-hmm. we're actually taking some of those characters, and it's a sci-fi based book, and we're turning some of those characters into comic book characters, and telling stories through that medium. So
mm-hmm.
that's currently in development right now.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Now, do you draw also, or will you have to get an illustrator for the project?
Well, we do have an illustrator.
Okay.
I do draw a little bit, but
oh,
not
you?
To the mm-hmm. point where I want to, not to the point, not as good as some of these guys out there, but yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, before we go continue on, let's hear a word from our sponsor. Okay.
Okay.
Scores of authors from across the nation will autograph books on Saturday, April 30th at the 7th Annual Dayton Book Expo. In addition to book signings, the Ohio-based event includes sessions for aspiring authors, a kids' zone, and a free journal for book lovers. For details, call 888-802-1802 or visit DaytonBookExpo.com. Dayton Book Expo, where book lovers connect.
If you are just tuning in, this is Say What Authors Spotlights, and I am your host, Tamika Patrice Kane. Today's special guest is author and screenplay writer Marlon Mikulski, and we were delving into the creative process with Marlon and also discussing his novel, Malicious. So we'll go ahead and jump back in. So you were mentioning that your favorite authors are Tracy Brown and Eric Jerome Dickey, and there was one other one. Who was the third one?
Deja King.
Deja King. Okay. All right. So do you have a specific set of thoughts about the 99-cent movement, book movement?
you mean more like the e-book kind of movement?
Yeah. Do you have a, you know, I mean, some people are for it, some people are against it. You know, I just kind of wonder what your thoughts were on it.
I'm not really, it's kind of a touchy subject, I guess, but I'm not really a fan
mm-hmm.
of it. You know, of course, you know, I have to embrace it, you know, as far as e-books in general.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a paperback type of person. That's what I was raised
okay.
on, and then that's
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm used to. But you know, it'll be foolish to ignore that medium.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as pricing your books for 99 cents, particularly like it, even though
mm-hmm.
a couple of my books are put set at that price point. That's the publisher's decision, but.
Mm-hmm.
In general, it feels like you're selling yourself short, and your work short.
Mm-hmm.
When you
mm-hmm.
you know mark your work down for pennies, and you're not even really getting you're not even getting 99 cents of those 99 cents.
Right.
So these days, when people say they're on a best selling list, they're a bestseller,
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
what does that mean?
Okay. Yes. You know, I don't usually talk much about my own stuff when I'm doing the interviews, but you bring that up, and so you know it's kind of interesting. So I'm kind of on the same page with you on that, and I did decide to I had self-published the book through Vanity a couple years ago, and
mm-hmm.
then decided to shop it. I was looking for a larger platform, so I ended up signing with a different publisher, and
mm-hmm.
and so they're doing what they do, so that you know the first book comes out at 99 cents, and I had to really just bear it.
Yeah, you got to. You kind of have to kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to swallow it a little bit. Like,
yes. I'm like, okay, let me get my mind right, so that I'm not.
Yeah,
let me remember the bigger picture.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, in one case, I understand why they're doing it as far as marketing
mm-hmm.
is concerned, as far as getting people to introduce you to your audience, to a bigger audience, by people say, oh, 99 cents, let me just go get it.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, I think there's been a few studies that come out and that show that people are not even really – they'll purchase the books, but a lot of these books go unread on their Kindle or on their whatever format they're having it on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, okay, you're getting your name out there, you're getting your work out there, but are people really reading it? Is it really working? You know, are they going to turn around and buy your $5.99 book or your $6.99 book because they enjoyed your 99-cent book? I don't know.
You know, I kind of go there too, and I'm not quite sure. You know, but I do see that. I wonder sometimes what makes the difference between the ones that come out, you know, and they end up with like these huge reader base, you know, and so people are waiting, like, okay, when is the next book coming out? You know, and they're waiting with bated breath. And then, you know, for the ones that come in who are also good writers, but who may not get that same kind of fanfare. I'm always kind of curious about that, even if they're signed to the same label, or, you know, they're still going through that same process, 99, 299, you know, 399, that sort of thing. So I'm not quite sure, but it's the process has certainly been interesting, you know, and I just wanted to, you know, to kind of get your take on that too, you know. But I know that when I publish things myself, or and since then I've started a publishing company of my own, but I don't price any of our works at 99 cents.
People are going to pay for quality. I think people are going to pay for quality, no matter. I mean, you can't be ridiculous with an ebook, obviously.
Right.
But if people know that you bring a certain level of quality to your work every time out, they're going to pay $4. They're going to pay $5. Yeah. They're going to pay because they are a fan of your work and they know that you're not going to just put anything out there.
That's right. That's right. So in addition to novel writing, you also write screenplays. Why don't you tell us how you got into that genre?
I got into screenplay writing through a mutual friend. I met Lamont Gant at a book event for romance, for this book I wrote called Romance for the Streets. And we met about 6 years ago. And then back in 2012, I wrote a book, co-wrote a book called Used to Temporary Happiness, and we were going to self-publish it. And when you're self-publishing, you know, your fingers are involved in everything from editing to picking the cover. And Lamont Gant, at the time, he was a graphic designer, and I seen some of his work, and I was like, wow, your covers are amazing. I knew immediately I was going to turn to him to get him to do the cover for Used to Temporary Happiness.
Okay.
And when we met and we discussed what I wanted on the book cover, and he found out a little bit more information about what the story was about, he said to me, you know, have you ever thought about, you know, turning this into a movie, a film?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, in my dreams, yeah, of course. And you know, he's like, no, really. I mean, he showed me a couple of book trailers that he did, and I was like, wow, this is so cinematic. And he's like, some of the actors that he had in his book trailers, they were really good. And then from there, we just started planning and we started working, and then soon we just said, okay, let's get this cast together and let's actually flesh out the story and make a film. And that's how we started making a movie. And Used to Temporary Happiness was our first feature-length film independently done.
Okay.
And then from there, after we did that, we were just like, man, we got to do this again.
Okay. So how many have you done? And why don't you tell us the names of them?
At this point, we've done 5 films together.
Oh, really?
I've been the screenplay writer. I've been the screenplay writer on 4 of those projects. The first one was Used to Temporary Happiness. That was came out in 2013. Then the next 2 projects were short films, about 15, 20 minutes long. No Time for Love, which was featured on African American Short Films that aired on TV for 3 months back in 2014.
Okay. Awesome.
So that was great. That was a great experience seeing our short film on TV. After that, we did Annulment. It was kind of an action thriller.
Let me stop you for just a second. Let's go back to the short film. Why did you guys decide to go that route instead of making it like a full length?
Well, the first film we did, Used to Temporary Happiness, was a full length hour and 45 minute film. And it took like a year, about a little over a year for us to do that film.
Okay.
So we, in that year period, we learned so much. And we were looking back at Youth for Temporary Happiness, and we were seeing our mistakes, and we were seeing things that we liked. And we said, okay, for right after we do Youth for Temporary Happiness, let's just do a short film. And let's take everything that we did right and do and put that into No Time for Love.
Okay.
And No Time for Love was a great short film, and it, you know, got picked up, and, you know, it did its thing on TV.
Awesome. Okay. All right. So
then we
the Annulment.
Annulment, yeah. And the Annulment was kind of a, it was kind of an action thriller, you know, type of story. It was a, it was different from the romance stories that we had done. And that was
now, is that one full length?
Also. Yeah, that was a short one, and then we started doing, then we said, okay, we're ready to do a full length feature, and we decided to do we came together with another author named V. Marie, and we did Returned, a sci-fi thriller, and that film was kind of based off the whole idea of. The director, Lamont Gant, he said, you know, at the time that the Malaysian flight disappeared back in 2014. And we were just kind of like, man, what happened to that plane? And he kind of came up with the idea like, man, what if one person came back? What would be that story? What happened to him?
Okay.
So that was the premise for Returned. And we just kind of went the sci-fi route with it. And it's we just released that film last year, October, and now we're shopping it around.
Awesome. Okay. So these works are currently, are they available for interested parties to view, or?
No Time for Love. Right now we're in the process of trying to secure distribution for Returned. And right now, No Time for Love, you can go to www.creativegeniusfilmsalltogether.com, and you can actually watch the full-length No Time for Love on our website.
Oh, really? Oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Now, is Creative Genius, is that your company? Or are you,
no.
How are you associated with it?
Well, Creative Genius Films was created by Lamont Gant.
Okay.
And for the most part, it's me and him. We have other people associated with Creative Genius Films. V. Marie, she's another author, and she's working with us now. But we're a very very small company, and Lamont Gant is the director / CEO of the company.
Okay. All right. Okay. Very good. So for an author who's interested in having their works hit the silver screen, why don't you tell us about the process? How would they go about doing that?
I'm still trying to figure that out. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say that because we just had a screening this past Thursday at in Landmark Theater in Atlanta. I'm not a filmmaker, so as far as how to let other people know how to do that, I think you have to find somebody who has a passion for making films. Because a lot of times, I mean, a lot of directors, you know, they're looking for good stories to tell. And just because they can, you know, film great doesn't mean that they're great writers or great storytellers. And they might want to partner up with somebody who's proven themselves to be a good writer. And, you know, if you two can, you know, put your heads together and you know, you can make a screenplay and, you know, just go the independent route. Sometimes, a lot of times, and, you know, in the majors, a lot of major movies are based off of novels. If you have your, if you're lucky enough to get your novel out there and somebody, you know, wants to turn your book into a movie, that's obviously a route to go. But I think on an independent level, a small level, if you can go out there and find somebody who is a filmmaker and try to work together with that person.
Okay. All right. So what would you say is the biggest challenge that you faced in the film arena? Is it distribution?
The biggest, Distribution. Yeah, I absolutely.
Oh, it is. Okay.
You know, sometimes, you know, as far as making the film is concerned, yeah, there are challenges there too, as far as finding location, finding extras or things like that. You know, obviously you can't be too extravagant with your budget. But after you make your film, finding distribution and finding a way to get it out to the people, a lot of people go the film festival route to get their films out. Yeah, I mean, but as far as major distribution, film festivals are not a guarantee that you would get accepted or even win anything. Finding distribution is a big challenge after you create your film.
Gotcha. Okay. So why don't you tell us a little about your creative process?
In what way?
Well,
as far as,
you know,
creating a book or?
Yeah, just, you know, just whatever. I mean, you know, sometimes people have a general theme that, you know, oh, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to have me a glass of wine, I'm going to open the window, have a little Chardonnay in the background. You know, that sort of thing. What's your creative process?
My creative process sometimes is how I find inspiration. A lot of times I might find inspiration in music, listening to certain songs and having certain feelings while listening to those songs. One story in particular, a few years ago, that song My Boo came out with Usher and Alicia Keys. And listening to the lyrics of that song inspired me to write a story based around those lyrics of those songs about, you know, young love, you know, and that inspired me. I think different things, and, you know, sometimes this conversation, you'll have a conversation with friends and you'll get on some kind of topic or so and go on some kind of tangent, and that will say, hey, that would make an interesting story, you know, based on this. And I always start by writing an outline as far as pen and paper, and I start to flesh out who my characters are, what the story is about, where do I want the reader to feel when they first start reading, and where do I want them to end. So that's kind of my process.
Okay, that's good. Now, do you travel for researching your stories?
Not too much. Not too much.
Okay.
I try to write what I know and what I've experienced or what I know other people have experienced.
Okay. Now, how many books have you written? Why don't you tell us the titles of each one of them, if you don't mind.
Wow, okay. The novels that I've written at this point, published novels, I think about seven.
Okay.
Starting with The Pink Palace.
Mm-hmm.
My second book was From Vixen to Diva.
Okay.
That was a novel. After that, I wrote The Pink Palace 2.
Mm-hmm.
After that, there was Used to Temporary Happiness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was my fourth book. Then I wrote Malicious. I think that would be number five.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I wrote, as far as novel is concerned, I believe Return would be the last of the novels. I might have missed one, but.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah,
Born
as far
Sinners,
as novel,
that was the one.
Born Sinners.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And then I've written a couple of short stories and anthology books.
Okay, all right. So we talked about the fact that you write in multiple genres. Is it difficult? Do you find that it's difficult to find your audience? You know, writing in so many different genres. You know, sometimes they'll say, you know, you need to target it. You know, Or is it easier for you because you write in so many different genres to be able to reach your audience? What do you think?
Well, I think initially starting out that you probably do want to find your niche as far as a specific genre, whether that be urban lit or romance or whatever, to build your audience, you know, that way. So the first couple of books were pretty much in that same genre. And then once you build up a trust with your readers, mm-hmm. And they know your work and they know who you are as a writer, you can experiment and you can go outside the box and you can write a sci-fi book or you can write a erotica book. And based on them knowing what type of writer you are and who you are and what you write and how you write, they'll go with you. They'll take a chance and they say, hey, I like this other book, so I'm pretty sure I'll like this one.
Okay. Okay, that's good. That's very good. Key is just being able to establish yourself in a particular genre first and then branching out. Okay, yeah, that's good. I can see that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any events or book signings coming up in the near future where supporters can come out and meet you?
Wow, I just did an event Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
It was a book signing / movie event. It was a screening, a second screening for Returned this past Thursday night. And we also did a book signing for Returned. Me, myself, Lamont Gant, V. Marie, we did a book signing after the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, I don't have any upcoming events as far as book signings are concerned or book events.
Okay.
But I will in the near future. We're actually mm-hmm. getting ready to start filming the part two for Return, a second movie for Return. So that's where
awesome.
My focus is right now.
Okay. All right. So why don't you tell our listeners how they can follow you on social media?
Yeah. I am on Facebook under Marlon Mikulski. Mm-hmm. I'm also on Instagram under Marlon Mikulski on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also follow me on website as far as creativegeniusfilms.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's www.creativegeniusfilms.com. You'll see a lot of all of the films that I've done from there. And I'm also
mm-hmm.
on Amazon under Marlon Mikulski.
Uh-huh. Okay. And now, where are your books sold?
My books are sold Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and your local, African-American bookstores.
Okay, awesome. All right. So why don't you tell us one random fact about yourself?
I'm sorry, say it again?
A random fact. Why don't you tell us something random about yourself?
Random. Man, what is so random about Marlon Mikulski? You already know I like comic books.
Uh-huh.
You already know. My parents are Jamaican. That's kind of random. My mom and dad are from Jamaica. I was born in New York and raised in Florida.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. And now living in the Atlanta area, right?
Exactly. For the last 10 years now. Been
oh,
here
really?
In Atlanta.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, in closing, what advice would you give to an aspiring author?
I always tell aspiring authors to research the industry that they want to get into. They want to write a certain type of book or a certain type of genre. Make sure you research and find out who's publishing that type of book.
Mm-hmm.
Try to find out whether you're trying to get a deal or if you want to go the independent route. Research other people who are already doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Research who is successful at doing it, and then try to pattern your career or your steps after that person, And, find out about the industry.
Mm-hmm. That's very good advice. You said that now, and I thought about a quote from Lisa Nichols. She says, success leaves clues. So, yes you're absolutely right in trying to, to research and then to pattern yourself. So there you have it.
Right.
Well, I would like to thank you so much for joining us today, Marlon. It's been such a pleasure having
you so much
and
for
chatting
having
with
me.
You. Yes. Yes, we'll have to do it again.
Yes.
So we at Saywood Book Club and Author Spotlights wish you continued success on your literary journey.
Thank you.
Yes, my pleasure. Again, listeners, we have had author and screenplay writer Marlon Mikulski with us today. If you missed any part of this interview, you can access the archive about 5 minutes after the show airs to hear it in its entirety. This is Tamika Patrice Kane from Say What Author Spotlights, signing off saying join us here every fourth Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we interview our favorite authors. In the meantime, tune in next Sunday for a special edition of In the Spotlight as we interview mother-daughter literary duos LaShira and Jackie Lee, and Barbara Jo and Imani Nija Williams, right here at 3 p.m. on WALN, the Abundant Living Station. Until next time, live your purpose, encourage someone to be their daily best, and read a good. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.